Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah, happy birthday, Stevie Wonder, 70 years old. Sedano here with you on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mama Momo hanging out today. All show. Woj, you're going to join us in 6 minutes. This segment brought to you by our friends at Navy Federal Credit Union, where they have a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. And as I mentioned, Agent Wojnarowski is going to join us, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And listen up, gamers. MLB The Show 20 is what baseball dreams are made of, and it's out now. Congratulations to Larry Williams, who won a copy of MLB The Show, MLB The Show 20 on PS4 yesterday on our show. We gave away three copies yesterday. Listen to Mason in Ireland today for your chance to win, too. MLB The Show 20. Get your copy now at theshow.com. So we were asking people earlier. I got sucked into this thing about who is your first TV crush? We'll have the NBA stuff here for you in a second because Woj is going to join us. People are tweeting in. People are calling in at 877-710-ESPN. Toby tweets us and he says, Sedano for the brothers, Thelma from Good Times. Okay, there you go. another gentleman, Chester, checks in. He says, my first, I think every guy had a crush on Alyssa Milano. Lisa Bonet is in there. Elizabeth Shue. He goes, but my first was Lisa. Lakers Metropolis tweets us and says the Pink Ranger from the original Power Rangers. Let's go to the phones here at 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Sean in Northridge. Sean, what's up?
How's it going, guys? You just said it. Mine was the Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson. Every
really?
Kid growing up wanted to be the Red Ranger, Green Ranger, and Dater. Come on now.
Okay, well, fair enough. I was a little older for the Power Rangers era, so but appreciated Sean. I mean, you couldn't see her though, right? Oh, I guess that's not true. They weren't always in their costumes. They had actual moments where they were, you know, kids just being kids. So I guess that's true. So yeah, I didn't watch the show, so I don't know. It's on it's streaming though right now on Nickelodeon's app. Because my daughter occasionally likes to watch it. You're not there yet, Momo.
Oh, no, I'm not there at all. Nevin probably does, though. there are certain things that, like, I don't need to share in with our marriage, and that's
the Power Rangers is one of them?
Yeah, that'll be all him.
Yeah, let's go to Jeff in North Hills. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I had to absolutely agree with you, Alyssa Milano. Hands down, was in love with. It changed my life as a kid.
Wow. Okay. So clearly a big Who's the Boss fan. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Mitch, real quick. Mitch, what do you got?
How are you guys? Bless you guys. My favorite, don't tell anybody, Jacqueline Smith. So I did watch Charlie Angels.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. A little old school there. I like that. Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate
I like
it.
That. My favorite, don't tell anybody, but I'm on live on the radio.
All right, let's grab one more. Chris in Oxnard. Chris, what's up?
How you doing?
Hey.
It was definitely married with children.
Oh.
Christina Applegate?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I can see that.
Yeah. That is a good one. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
I thought he was going to say Katie Seagal.
Yeah. It could be Katie Seagal, too, though. Right? Exactly.
Dude, do you watch The Conners?
I don't watch The Conners.
She's life goals. I mean, she's on The Conners now. She's Dan's new girlfriend. Right.
That's funny.
You know, because they killed Roseanne off.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
That was how they did that show.
Yeah.
She is amazing. My gosh, how old is she? But she looks so good. That's like hashtag life goals.
That's funny.
When I'm her age, I want to look that good. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks great. She was on Sons of Anarchy, so I do remember watching her on that. Hey, so Woj is going to come up in 3 minutes. And are we calling him, Greg, or is he calling us? Oh, he's on?
No, we're calling him. No, oh. There you go.
Okay, great. So Agent Wojnarowski, the best in the business at covering the NBA, joins us now here. Sedano Show here on 710. Ramona Shelburne hanging out. Woj, thanks for taking the time. I hope everyone at home is safe and healthy.
They are, George. Hope the same for you guys. I know Ramona's gang is, and so and hope everybody in your audience is too.
Appreciate that. So, Woj, with all the information that's come out here over the last 24 hours or so, How much closer are we to potentially having an NBA season?
There's absolute momentum toward that, George. I think there's a, you know, a structure in place that's coming together, and a calendar of how it might work. And I think most importantly, there's an increasing level of comfort. I don't know if comfort is the word, but maybe an acceptance that there's going to be risk involved in a return to play for players, for staff. I think there's a level of trust from the Players Association and the owners that Adam Silver and his group, who have studied it, who have been consulting with their experts, studying how different leagues and entities around the world have tried to sort of handle best practices here, and that there's an ability to move forward here in the next maybe month or so to start toward reopening camps and playing again. Now, they're not there, and there was a list that we reported some of those elements last night in terms of, like, how the virus spreads here as states reopen, and the availability of tests, and, you know, continuing to look at the data of who's getting sick, who's most at risk, and what are the risks for those who would be playing or refereeing or around a basketball environment that they would create. So we're not all the way there yet, but I do listen, the owners and those who got off the call with Adam Silver last night were more optimistic than they've been, and they had left the call a couple weeks ago feeling like they were progressing toward it. And, you know, the players' call on Friday, I think Adam Silver speaking directly to a lot of the union leadership was very helpful. And it's, you know, it's getting everybody on board that there could be a way to do this.
Well, do you think there's a way that people can all get on board? I mean, is there ever going to be anything that feels like consensus or unanimous, or are there going to be teams that just feel like, no, we don't want to do this? Like, maybe teams that are not in it, especially this year, and just want to make sure next year is not messed up, or players that just, no matter how many safety protocols you put in, they just don't feel comfortable. What happens with those people those types?
Yeah, no, Ramona, it's a good question. And yeah, there are going to be pockets of people who, I don't know, who absolutely don't want to do it and refuse, but I think, are there some who are less enthusiastic about it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And but I do believe even teams who don't have a motivation to be in this, organizations who aren't going to be in the playoffs and
right,
don't see a real value in the games, I think most of them see a value in the training camp and getting guys back in the gym, and at least being able to mm-hmm. all get back together and play for however long it is. Now, are the teams like Cleveland and Atlanta and Golden State going to value whatever games are left? No, but you know what? They wouldn't be valuing them greatly either if we were
True.
Just winding down the regular season and playing. They'd be playing their younger guys, and Steph Curry probably wouldn't be playing much. Maybe a Trae Young or a Bradley Beal, name it on non-playoff teams. And so I think generally among the organizations, they know they have a responsibility to the greater good here. And that's been part of Adam Silver's ability to be able to sell this to everybody, owners, front offices, players, and he's going to have to continue selling this, and first and foremost, he's got to sell the idea that this is a safe environment. And listen, and for those who don't competitively feel like there's a lot to gain, for players, there is money to be gained by returning and playing. You're going to probably lose part of your salary because they're not going to make up all these regular season games.
Right.
I think we could all agree that's going to be impossible, but they are losing money on this, and they're looking toward next season. And you know, how a salary cap and luxury tax is going to be calculated. It's going to have to be done in negotiation between the union and the league. And the more players get back this year financially, if they just want to look at it from that sense, that could be helpful for them next year when they look at, a financial stake that is balanced for the players and owners on a 50-50 split. And so revenue goes down for the league, player salaries go down, just like they spiked up four and a half years ago when the new TV deal came in, and there was this big spike in the cap, and a lot of average players got very rich.
Agent Wojnarowski joining us here, the best in the business. George Sedano, Ramona Shelburne with you here on 710 ESPN. Woj, where have these conversations gone as far as testing in general, and particularly if there were a positive test?
Well, Adam Silver has said pretty consistently lately, he did it again on the Board of Governors call yesterday, he talked about it on the players call Friday, that they can't go into this with an expectation that if a player or someone was to test positive, they've got to shut the whole thing down. That you've seen it in some of the other sports that have started to come back here and abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you would remove that player, keep testing everybody. There's going to have to be a lot of testing, and then try to keep going. The question's going to be, George, how many is too many? Is it, if it's not one or two players or three players,
yeah,
is it five? Is it 10? What's that number where you say we have to stop? And I don't know if there's going to, I don't know if they're going to have a chart. I don't know if they're going to do that by feel, but that's where it'll get more complicated for them. If there's multiple positive tests in the environment, and that's what, and listen, that's part of the risk of going back into this. It might not go perfectly. In fact, I think we could all be confident it's probably not going to go exactly the way they want it to, because nothing in this world is right now, and that certainly is going to be part of the concern of returning to play. That's going to be true if they return this season, and that's going to be true next season, because the virus will still be with us.
So out here in LA, the two teams here with the Lakers and the Clippers both feel like they have a chance to win a championship, and there is more, as you would say, there's more on the line for them than, let's say, the Warriors or the Hawks or Cleveland, who are not in it. Do these owners, the contending owners, are they pushing harder? Are the players pushing harder to get the season back and to at least finish this out? Do you notice a difference between how the contenders are playing this and what they're looking at?
That's a good question, Ramona. And in some cases, yes. But I would tell you, there's some teams, some organizations who are very much in that championship mix, who all I've heard from them is safety. Is this safe? Huh. Are we doing the right thing? That will figure out the basketball. I think it, in a lot of ways, it goes more to the, I don't want to say the personality, but just sort of the makeup of different organizations, the different people who own the teams, the different people who run the teams, their sensibilities, how they look at this, than it does standings. But obviously, of course, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Celtics, I mean, the Heat, I'm going to go through the list, the teams who think, like they can either win a championship or, hey, we can make a run. We could get to a conference final. But by and large, I have found that teams generally, like, there's a lot of humility in the sense of we don't know exactly what we're dealing with. I am not an infectious disease specialist, and we really have to know what we're walking back into for the sake of everybody. And that has transcended the competitive desire to win.
Woj, as far as the bubble isolation plan, why is it that there's some pushback, I guess? I know Adam has talked about it being the safest of options, but why do you think that there's been some pushback to that?
I think there's not a lot of detail for people about what exactly it's going to look like, feel like. It's been shrouded in some secrecy in terms of how exactly the coming and goings would work and the limitations on players. And one thing Silver said on the call with the players Friday, he he doesn't imagine what they're not imagining is a situation where a player is just sitting in his room in a hotel room when he's not playing. That he'll play and just go back and sit in a room. That they expect you to be able to go outside, and it would be. And on a call yesterday, I was told somebody brought up the idea again of the bubble, and Adam Silver was kind of saying, "Hey, listen, like we've got to look at this more as a campus environment." Now, you know, listen, this isn't, you know, it's not going to probably be Stanford as much as Ramona would love it to be there.
You ride bikes there; it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, listen, it's not going to be anybody's vision of ideal. It just isn't. There's going to have to be restrictions and limitations to keep people safe. It's going to be, you're going to have to sacrifice a measure of the freedom that you're used to having, which we're all doing now anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think if the focus is going to be on safety, that doesn't guarantee that it's going to be this, the virus is not going to infiltrate it. I don't think it does, but they're going to try to, I think the idea is to put as many precautions in place to allow that. And remember, this isn't like baseball, although it looks like baseball is headed in another direction with how they're going to play. For a lot of players, you're only going to be there a few weeks, a couple weeks, and your team's going to lose, and you're going to go home. And you're going to play a first-round series, and half the rest of the league is going to go home after getting beat in four or five games or six games. And so while there will be those who have to stay very much an extended period in it, they're going to be the ones chasing a championship. I think that will it's not like baseball, hypothetically, where you'd be starting a season. And remember, the original plan was, well, we'll go to Arizona, and you're going, okay, my team stinks, and I've got to play in 120-degree heat every single day and just stay in my room. Like, it isn't that. Like, you're going to be going in that thing, and then half the league's going to be leaving because your team's going to get eliminated pretty quick here.
You know, one of the things I thought that you reported last week that was – really important in terms of this return. And I think there was a follow-up part of your story today where Adam talked about, you know, standardizing testing across all 30 teams. That has felt like the biggest piece of the puzzle, because right now it's, you know, there's a 20-page manual to go play and have somebody rebound for you with like a mask and gloves on. That's like not even close to real basketball again. And how do we get from that to being able to have real basketball where somebody's rebounding and there's contact and there's potential, you're within 6 feet. On Friday, Orlando and the two LA teams received permission to test their own players and staffers. How soon do we think other teams are going to get that? Other markets are going to get it, are going to get the ability to test people?
Well, the bar that the league has put on that is, if in a marketplace that healthcare workers who need testing are able to get testing.
Yep.
Now, that's a very different bar from what was originally talked about, was the public and mass testing available to the public. But if you look at what the mayor of L.A. said and the county health commission in Orlando, they talked about not only the healthcare workers being able to do that, but I think the teams themselves had a standard of, is it available to the masses in my area before they said we'd like to go forward and do it. You know, I know one thing that was talked about yesterday and we reported on the call was the question of will rapid response mass testing be available by the time the league would start, and say, like, let's say within the next 30 days. And the answer from the league's point of view was they didn't think so. And I think as much as anything, there's a big PR element. There's a big public relations element to the league coming back, and certainly it's still one of the hurdles there about are NBA teams and players needlessly just plowing through thousands of tests to just play basketball. You know, certainly it's an industry and it's a business like others in the country, but is it going to be done? Is there a cost to others if this is being done? And I think that is going to be one of the questions that the league is going to have to grapple with and be able to articulate and be able to sell that they can be part of helping. There's tangibly in communities with testing, whether it's through funding and
charitable endeavors and research, which they've started to do and they've always done. But I do think they understand that that's going to be part of the selling of the league coming back if it resumes here in the next month or so.
Adrian Wojnarowski is the best in the business at covering the NBA. Check out all his work that's up right now on ESPN.com, the ESPN app, and he also tweets it out at WojESPN. Woj, stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks for making time for us, man. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, George. Thanks, Ramona. Talk to you guys soon.
See
you. You too.
All right, a lot to unpack there, Momo. Let's get into that on the other side. Plus, we never got to the Windy idea. Brian Windhorst has an idea that's kind of counter to what some of the NBA people are thinking at the moment. We'll get to that back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Woj for stopping by there. Mama Momo hanging out all show today. I've got something for you. I want to unpack what Woj said in a second. We'll do that in a second. We still haven't gotten to the Windy idea about kind of messing around with the NBA schedule. But we got a UFC preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Daniel Cormier, he was on one of our shows yesterday on ESPN. So, Laura, if you can find the audio where he talks about Fight Island. Are you familiar with Fight Island as a concept, right? Dana White? Momo, are you familiar with it?
No. Oh, Fight Island, where they go to like some Caribbean island and that's.
Yeah. He basically buys an island, right? Okay. He rents an island. If it's like, you know what? If I got to buy an island or rent an island and that's where we got to fight, that's where we got to be. So it seemed like because Florida is open that he didn't have to do that. He just moved the last UFC to, which was UFC 249, which was this past weekend. He moved it to Jacksonville at the last minute. But apparently Daniel Cormier, right? Heavyweight champion, multiple-time heavyweight champion in the UFC, and now he's also an announcer at the UFC, says Fight Island is on. Let's hear Cormier.
And I'm so excited to go to Fight Island. I want to go to Fight Island.
Where is it?
That's the thing. We don't know. They won't tell us where Fight Island is. Even Rogan can't find out where Fight Island is. We begged. We both asked. We thought combined we could get it out of Dana. And he stonewalled us. He didn't tell us. And then we tried to ask Hunter. And he didn't tell us. Nobody wants to tell us where Fight Island is. Island is a real thing. It's a real thing.
As soon as when?
I believe the first person to fight on Fight Island will be either Israel Adesanya or Conor McGregor. I know it has to be a foreign person, right? It's supposed to be like a foreign fighter. And I think it has to be one of those two because they're like the two biggest foreign guys right now. And imagine that. You take a fight to Fight Island with one of those guys. My goodness. I don't care if I'm in training camp. I'm going to Fight Island, man. I am going to Fight Island.
So Fight Island is real, and we're going to get Fight Island, and it may end up being Conor McGregor.
Wow. Okay. So you know what that sounds like? That sounds like everybody who just is driving out to Malibu every night or Hermosa Beach to go see the bioluminescence.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, it's something cool to go do right now.
That's what Greg Bergman did. Yeah. He thought it was cool.
It was very cool.
I went out to Malibu the other night and didn't see anything. I stood on the beach. I drove all the way out there Saturday night. I wore a mask. There was all these people. I didn't feel safe. I stood there for 20 minutes. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't see anything.
It's not in Malibu. You had to go back. I think it's up in Venice, Santa Monica
apparently.
Right now.
It moves now.
The night before it was in Malibu. Newport. I checked. Yeah. I went on and I searched Malibu bioluminescence and there was all these posts.
Yeah.
And then I went out. I was like, that was stupid.
Go to Trinkets.
So let me ask you this, Momo. If Fight Island is on, and by the way, that was on Ariel Helwani's show, our buddy Ariel Helwani. If you could fight anyone in sports on Fight Island, it doesn't have to be an athlete. It could be like someone even tangentially involved with sports. If you, Mama Momo, could get in the ring in Fight Island with anyone in sports, who would it be?
Anyone in sports? Is this a real fight or is this like wrestling style?
I mean, whatever you want. You can lay down the rules. There are no rules at Fight Island.
Ooh. I would go WWE style. I don't really want to get hit.
Okay.
And I don't actually want to hit anybody, right?
Yeah.
That's part of it. So I would do WWE and I would choose The Rock.
Oh, okay. You would want to fight The Rock just for the hype of it all, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the hype. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And also because that's the one on my list.
Yeah.
So that's like going to be our introduction.
Okay, see, I would go on Fight Island and I would pick someone. I mean, listen, I haven't
that
trained.
You actually don't like?
I well, no, it's not that. I would want to win because I'm super competitive, right? Because and I also haven't trained in a long time, right? I'm 42 years old. I haven't actually sparred in over a decade. And I, but I at one time I could, and I did. And here's the thing, like I have been kicked in the head, okay? Whoa. Kicked in the head and just stood there and looked at the guy and be like, that's all you got? Like, at one point in my life, I was able to take a roundhouse kick to the head, okay?
Okay.
Now, I may have been concussed after the fact, but I still took it like a man.
Were you wearing headgear?
No. Okay.
Whoa, okay.
Took it like a man and looked right at him like, that's all you got? So, and this was a man who was way bigger than me. But anyway, I don't know if I've got that in me anymore, so I would have to fight someone I know I'd kick their ass.
Okay.
I'm taking Colin Cowherd down. We're fighting right now on the radio. He's going up against me. I'm going up against him. I know I can kick Cowherd's ass. I love you, Cowherd, but I'm kicking your ass on Fight Island.
I mean, how much older is he than you?
He's easily over a decade. Probably 15 years. And I know he's a runner. He's a runner. Yeah. But I'll kick his ass.
Okay. All right. Ratings war. Gone to Fight Island.
Yeah. Bergman, who are you fighting? All the stinking, cheating Astros?
Oh, yeah. I would love to fight every single one of them. I'd lose. But I am going to fight John Ireland.
John Ireland?
Again,
John,
I'm so fighting John Ireland. So much older than you.
So what? He's
How
like
old
he likes
you,
to
Greg?
Keep in shape. I'm 36.
He's like 50-something.
Look, whenever
You're gonna
I
fight
go
the
on
old guy, come on.
When I was on with Mason in Ireland, and he would rip me nonstop, even more so than Mason. And even now, to this day, I'm not even on the show anymore, and he still rips me nonstop.
He was ripping you yesterday. I heard
exactly.
It. I was listening. I'm like, good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't even hear that one. What did he say there?
I don't know. I mean, they rip you every day. You're right. Like, it's something. I heard it. I don't remember what
really
it is now.
John rips you more than Mason did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? Well, I think John comes across as the nicer one.
Yeah.
But does, feel like really deep down inside, Mason is the nicest one.
Well, also, when John rips you, it cuts deeper.
Deep. Way deeper.
Like Mason is like kidding. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Mason's making fun of you for things, and he's kind of kidding, but he doesn't really, like, slice deep.
John goes for the white meat.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he does. So, I'm going after John Ireland. Me, you, Ireland, Fight Island.
All right,
Laura,
the Rock.
You're still staying with The Rock because you want the hype. You want the fun. Laura, who are you fighting on Fight Island?
I used to have a good friend, and we're not friends anymore, so I would take her. And she's about 2 years older than me, so I don't got a lot of years on her. I would take her.
Is she in shape?
No.
There you go.
There you go. Take her down.
Take her down.
She's taking it serious. Ooh,
the
I
only
like
person
it.
I would avoid fighting on Fight Island that works at this radio station, to be honest with you, is LZ, because he's way better shape than any of us.
Yeah, LZ's in really good shape.
Yeah, there's no chance I'm fighting LZ on Fight Island.
Yeah. You really want to take on Key?
No, I wouldn't take on Key either, but I'd like my chances better being able to run away from Key and tiring him out than I would with LZ. I'm not tiring LZ out.
Yeah, Key would kind of like stiff arm to the face and just be like, don't hit
me. No, Key would still win if he caught me, but he'd have to catch me first is the question.
Okay.
Catch me if you can, Keyshawn. All right, 877-710-ESPN. If you could fight anyone in the world of sports on Fight Island, hit us up, 877-710-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We didn't get to the damn Windhorse thing. I swear, I promise we'll get into that. We'll do that next. Windhorse thinks there should be a different timeline for the NBA. We've also got an update on the Pac-12 and what the hell could happen there, and Major League Baseball also gaining momentum with their negotiations. Momo hanging out. Sedano, 710-ESPN. Sedano with you on 710-ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out today. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any one of our interviews today, including the one with Woj just about that ended, I don't know, about 15 minutes ago, you can check it out. The interview in demand section on the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts. It's all brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking account or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One and a member FDIC. So we're getting people chiming in. I've posted it on Twitter at Sedano. If you could pick anyone in sports to fight on Fight Island, who would you pick? A gentleman says that they would want me to fight Jim Rome. I mean, I could take Rome. There's no question about that. First of all, he's way shorter than even I am. Second of all, he's way older than even I am. So
yeah,
there
but
you go.
He feels, I think he's in shape. Like, he might be like one of the doing some Jay Glazer type stuff, like MMA.
There is not a talk show host that I would be afraid of outside of LZ Granderson. Like, afraid of. Like, that I know he'd kick my ass.
Marcellus?
Well, I guess Marcellus would be one. I meant like radio host. But, okay. Yeah, because even Key, I think I could tire Key out. I think he'd have to chase me around the ring, and he'd get too tired.
Like, he would get frustrated.
Yeah,
like he'd be like, "What are we doing this for?"
He'd be like, "Man, stop running around!
Stop!" And he would try to trash talk you into coming to him, and you'd just keep, you know, and then you would just like keep dancing, right?
Right, but come on, man, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yeah.
What would happen between you and Mason?
Oh, I'd destroy Mason. Come on. Mason would fall on one punch, even if it didn't hurt that much.
Have you ever seen the mace plant?
Of course.
It
of course.
It is the most unathletic thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. So what would actually Mason look like in the ring itself? Like, even if you tried to fight him?
I think he would dance for a little bit. He would get hit by one punch and go down. That would be it. I think he's got a glass jaw.
Yeah, for sure. He's like, you know, he's like Glass Joe in the Mike Tyson punch out game. That's what Mason is. That for
one
sure.
One punch down.
No doubt. Let's go to the phones. Adam in the Valley. Adam, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, bud?
I would personally fight Reggie Miller.
Why?
I am a die-hard Knicks fan.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. I can tell you something. When I was a child, because I was a teenager during those mid-90s, I collected cards, basketball cards. And every time I got a Reggie Miller card, I kid you not, I tore it up and I kept it in this little jar next to my TV. And anytime the Knicks played the Pacers in those, you know, epic playoff series, I'd like pray on the thing like it was voodoo or something. I cannot stand the guy.
I get that. That's real sports hatred, yeah?
Yeah. By the way, people on Twitter, you're not getting this. I said, if you could pick anyone in sports to fight on Fight Island, who would you pick? Like, they're giving me matchups of people. I don't want that. God. You guys. Come on. Anyway. Yeah.
People
so we're
on
getting...
Twitter misunderstanding something?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, like,
that
giving me,
never
like,
happens.
Like Tyson Holyfield, Masvidal McGregor. Like, I don't... I'm you people. Come on. What's wrong with you? Anyway. All right, so Brian Windhorst, real quick.
There we go.
Has finally suggested, we'll get to the calls here, there are people chiming in, has suggested, his idea is, why don't we wait to play the season, the NBA season, in the fall, and then like start it all in September, and then basically pick up the next season from there. I don't love that idea, Momo. I know you said you did, but go ahead. Tell me why you like it.
Well, I think it's just buying time. And there's this sense that with more time, people are going to have, one, better data. They're going to have a better understanding of the virus. They're hopefully could have more treatment options. Hopefully you could have, be on the pathway to a vaccine. So by buying time, you essentially give yourself more options to where, you know, here's what, and I thought what something Woj said reminded me of this. Like, I think one of the idea that we're just going to come back and it's going to go exactly as planned is laughable, right? There's going to be, once the NBA gets back, once baseball gets back, there's going to be players, staffers, trainers, whoever it is, who are going to test positive. And what do you do with those people? Is it one? Is it two? Is it four? What if it's, you know, God forbid, LeBron James in the middle of the NBA Finals? What if it's Anthony Davis? What if it's like Kawhi Leonard? I mean, do they have to sit out? Are we going to push pause and then just reschedule? Or are we going to just say, oh, well, you don't have Kawhi Leonard for game four? And it probably wouldn't be game four the rest of the finals. I mean, what if something like that happens? Whereas if at the end of training camp and let's say you have a training camp in September and you go through a training camp, let's say by then they have some treatments where if you tested positive for COVID, maybe you wouldn't even have to isolate. Maybe you would just take some antivirals and it would be seen as a manageable risk. Like if other people caught it from you, it would be okay because they could take a cocktail of three or four drugs and they'd be okay. I mean, I don't know, but I feel like more time is always better.
So here's why I don't think that's a good idea. I'm a believer, whether you don't have to be. I'm not saying you or anyone in the audience, mm-hmm. right? I'm a believer we're going to have a second wave. Now, how bad that second wave is, nobody knows, right? Yeah. There are multiple different models out there. There's some that are really bad, some that are just, not so bad, right? Like some where it's like, constant blips up and down for, months at a time. I believe that. I believe we're getting some sort of second wave because we're also going to be dealing with flu season, which is a pain in the butt to begin with already. So I think that if we wait, we're not going to get a season. That's my opinion. So okay. We see a window here in the summer where things may be able to get done, even though you can't take antivirals. We're not there yet medically or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think that we have a more defined window of trying to get things done as things are being slowed down some or flattened in this particular case to do it in a bubble scenario where people may have to show up there earlier than anticipated, right? Like maybe the training camps have to start there in the bubble, Momo, as opposed to having training camps in your own facilities. That way, if guys are getting it, right? If they come into the bubble and they already have it, they're sitting out during training camp as opposed to games. You see what I'm saying? So I think that's why I would rather take advantage of the window right now.
I get that because there is something to be said for momentum, right? Whenever I'm working on a story or a project, like you always want to just, you send a text here and there just to keep in contact with people. If you write a letter and then you don't write to somebody for, 2 months, they like forget about it. It's like you have to start building that momentum again. So that's a good point. I agree with you on the loss of momentum. Plus, like everything that all the storylines, everything we were playing for, like it just feels like the longer it goes on without it, the less important it becomes.
Right.
Right. There's just sort of this unfinished quality to it. It's just sort of like, and people sometimes just want to just start anew, start fresh. Then there's also very strange, weird, real issues with like player contracts, which generally expire on June 30th. They're already going to have to amend those. Guys that, when does free agency happen? When does the draft happen? Why do you go through training camp for next year while with players who were still on your team from last year, who may not be on your team again the following year, right? Like that gets a little messy and complicated. I just like the idea of buying time.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I just think that, I'm a firm believer in the second wave, right? So let's just, if we can do it, let's do it now. Get everyone there early. That way, if anyone is infected coming in, we can treat them and deal with them and take them out of training camp as opposed to games. Like, I think that might be the solution I would take. All right, coming up next, Arizona's open for business. What does that mean for the Pac-12? Also, there is an NFL player that's willing to sign a waiver to play during coronavirus. We'll talk about that as well. Stick around. Momo's here. Sedano, back in 2.5 minutes. Happy birthday, Stevie Wonder. Don't forget, MLB The Show. We gave away 3 copies yesterday. Mason and Ireland are going to give away one today. Listen up, gamers. MLB The Show 20 is what baseball dreams are made of, and it's out now. Congratulations to Miguel Padilla, who won a copy of MLB The Show 20 on PS4 yesterday here on this show. Again, listen to Mason Ireland today for your chance to win, too. MLB The Show 20. Get your copy now at theshow.com. So now people are starting to get the whole, if you could pick someone to fight on Fight Island, they would. Right. So people are chiming in. Vince Young, a couple of USC fans are coming in with Vince Young. Michelle Beadle.
Who's Beadle gonna fight?
She says definitely not this guy, which is the bowler, that crazy bowler guy who's always yelling and screaming. I forget his name. Weber, something Weber is his name. Yes, she just weighed in. So we've got a bunch of people chiming in. Vince Young,
you can't fight Beadle. Beadle's kind of feisty. Like,
I wouldn't fight Beadle. Yeah,
I wouldn't fight her. Plus, she takes like hot yoga. She's in super good shape. She's on Peloton. And she'd probably bring along all of her dogs.
Yeah. Actually, that was not Michelle Beadle. Wrong Michelle. It was Michelle Steele. But I still would not fight Michelle Beadle either. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
Beadle has like 9 dogs or something. So it'd be like you versus Beadle and 9 dogs.
Right.
No way.
Yeah, the dogs will take you out in that scenario. somebody, Marco here, wants to fight Greg Bergman. He says, I want that fool in the ring.
Let's do this. I'm ready to go. Let's go to Fight Island.
Jeff says Mike Trudell, and my response was, how dare you? Yeah, he says, I feel like I would put up equally crap fighting skills. I think you guys are underestimating Trudell. That is an angry little man.
I think he said Trudell? It the best. Yeah.
Mike Trudell. That's an angry little man.
I don't know that he's an angry. No.
Oh, I think there's pent up frustration there. He will whoop people's asses.
Oh, I think I think he would be good. Yes. But you know what? I feel like Mike Trudell would be like, he'd be like kicking everybody because he's a little soccer player. So he'd be like,
yeah, that's true.
Shins and stuff. Yeah. He'd be good at that.
Yeah. Ralphie Boy texts in or tweets in and says, I'd fight Altuve with no cheating. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah.
So keep them coming at Sedano. You can tweet us there. It's up there. And people are calling in too at 877-710-ESPN. Let me talk to Fernando real quick in Santa Monica. Fernando, who you got?
Okay. Just one correction. I'm from East LA, but I'm working in Santa Monica.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
So being from East LA, I'll definitely win the fight. I want to fight Colin Cowherd.
Okay.
Okay.
Me and you tag team. What do you think?
He thinks he's right about everything, dude. That guy, I would love to get in the ring with that dude.
So, what do you think? You and me tag team then?
Hey, we'll jump him. I'm from East LA.
Dale, la raza. Pa la raza.
Eso.
All right, man. Be safe, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Be good. So, there you go. Keep them coming. 877-710-ESPN. So, Momo, Arizona's open for business, okay? This is our last segment. Arizona's open for business. The governor says sports are ready to roll, much like the tack they took in Florida. Do you think that we will see a California team be like, you know what? We're setting up operations in Arizona.
Not right away. I think that the California teams here that I mean, let's say in basketball, all right? I think they're all still trying to work with the mayor's office and city officials and local officials to do things here. I think they definitely are. But if after, let's say a month goes by and the rest of the NBA is opening back up camps, people really want to get going, and there's still not a path to doing that in LA, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, get everybody a place out in Scottsdale. We could do like 10 Airbnbs. No, I have to do more than like 30.
Yeah. Right? No, you might as well just get the Ritz or whatever it is in Scottsdale.
Yeah, just get one of those hotels. Yeah, there's some really nice hotels out there in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
They could just play at the American Airlines Arena there, right? They can play in Phoenix. It's a nice spot. The thing with baseball playing there, if baseball were to do that, there's so many complexes, there's so many minor league fields already. It'd be really easy for the Angels and Dodgers to do that if they need to. Now, baseball is a little different. Like, they can actually go to their facilities right now to do rehab work. So if you walk by Dodger Stadium or Angel Stadium, there's some players there. They're doing some things. It's not like the NBA where it's just like, you know, police tape outside, right? And I say that figuratively. Don't aggregate me. That was just an expression. Okay.
Right.
But like, baseball can still do some things right now. But if you're going to escalate it to have like real games, it would be real easy to do that in Arizona because they already have their minor league facilities there. And I think something people don't get is like, you know, there's no minor league baseball this year. Like, there's not.
Right.
There's
been no shuttered. Yeah.
It's been shuttered. So there's no push to get minor league baseball back. But you're going to have like you called it a taxi squad. I think you're going to have more than that. I think you're going to have a full sort of Arizona Fall League type of situation because I don't think 50 players is enough to get through all this. I think you're going to be playing games. If you're playing games almost every day, if you have some positive tests that are going to have to be isolated, what if it spreads a little bit? Like, you know, if you're going to be playing in the heat, you know, I think you got to have maybe 80 people for each team that are sort of training and constantly available for call-ups. And it would just be so much easier if everybody was in Arizona where they have, you know, if you go to the Dodgers facility, there's 12 fields out there.
Yeah.
Always be training.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about the fact that there are two Pac-12 schools in Arizona and, you know, California, Oregon, and Washington are all kind of steadfast, right? They're kind of locked arms in this situation. And there are, I mean, a number of schools, right? Like you have USC, you have Cal, you have Stanford, you have UCLA in California as far as the Pac-12 schools, right? You've got Washington, you've got Washington State, you've got Oregon State. So there's a number of schools there. We're talking about the majority of the Pac-12 are lock and step with these states at the moment who don't want to play it. Now, Arizona State and Arizona may have a little bit of I guess, an advantage potentially. So
yeah,
we could have an interesting scenario with how the Pac-12 breaks down, particularly from a football perspective, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's interesting, especially coming off the heels of a errant report about USC and Bama not playing in come September, which Mike Bone, the USC athletic director, has come out and denied. He tweeted yesterday, "I enjoy regular conversations with Greg Byrne, who's the AD at Alabama. We have every intention of playing our game against Alabama. I'd like to remind all our fans that this is an uncertain time. And there will be much disinformation. We continue to explore every model for the 2020 football season. We will certainly communicate relevant updates when we have them. Hashtag fight on."
Yeah, look, USC is a private institution. I think they may have a little more leeway in what they're going to do here, but all the other schools that you named, well, USC and Stanford are private institutions.
Right.
Cal, UCLA, the two Washington schools, the two Oregon schools, those are public schools. So I wonder how those regulations come into play, because when you're, you know, owned by taxpayers, like you have a little less leeway. You kind of have to do what the governor says, right? You can't just start freelancing. I hope that the decisions that we all make in professional sports, but also in our lives, are based more on science and evidence and data rather than on economic pressures.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that they are not going to be. I worry that the economic pressure is going to get so great that people will just start taking more risks or feeling compelled to do things that they probably shouldn't be doing. And that is that's to me like what this fall looks like. Like for college sports and for everything in general. I mean, the college football makes the most money of anybody, but they make that money because of the fans, because there's so many
the amount of the people that go to the games, and just these stadiums are built for 100,000 people.
Big,
right. Yeah.
But like, I don't know how college football is going to operate without fans. I just like most of, or it's not going to be the revenue and cash cow that it is without that. And so I don't know. I hope they don't just sort of rush back and try to get everything back just because they need that revenue.
So speaking of economic pressure, and after this story, I've got a really cool story about one of the most popular shows ever doing something really cool for one of their fans on Zoom. We'll end the show on that. But speaking of economic pressures, Saints wide receiver Austin Carr was on Golic and Wingo yesterday. Uh-huh. And he was asked by Mike Golic if he willingly would sign a waiver to absolve the Saints or the NFL from liability if he suffers COVID-19 and infection if the season is played. And his response was, yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. With football players, Momo, 60% of them are on minimum deals. Like, that's not a small number. And we all know football money is monopoly. And I do think that there's going to be professionals. Now, we were just talking about amateurs, which is different, and I'm with you on that. But professionals will feel that pressure, I think.
Yeah, you're right. I've already heard sort of anecdotally of, you know, there being sort of a class divide on guys who make a lot of money who are like, you know, I'd rather just stay home and collect my checks versus players who are on a minimum who are like, you know, I actually need this money to get paid, you know, and especially if you're talking about 25% less for a guy making $30 million a year. I mean, it's a lot of money, but they're still eating well, right? For a guy on a minimum, that's significant. And I think, you know, we already saw the UFC did that. The UFC has the most leverage of any professional sports organization over its contestants, right? Over its players. I don't want to call them players. They're fighters, right? They made them all sign waivers. And not only did they have to sign a waiver about participating, they had to sign a non-disclosure about a non-disparagement that they wouldn't say anything negative about the UFC or its safety practices. That to me was really a bad story. That was like, you just don't want to be putting your athletes in position to where they feel like they have to fight because they don't feel comfortable. They're being pressured into it with something as serious as this. But, you know, it's going to happen. You already see it, right?
Yeah. And you're seeing cracks. Yeah.
And if one player says that, then the owners see that and say, okay, there's a whole section of people who will do that.
Yeah. So real quick, were you a big fan of The Office?
You know what? I never watched it. I hate to admit that, but I know everybody likes it. So I just never got into it. It doesn't mean that it was bad. I just never did.
Well, basically, here's the thing. It's not so much about The Office, but they did this really cool thing. And like all the old characters came out. So I guess somehow or another on social media, there's this this couple that were getting married in Maryland, and they're huge fans of The Office, and their friends, I guess, somehow via social media contacted the folks at The Office, right? Some of the characters, and told them, hey, we'd love for you guys to be part of their Zoom wedding. They're getting married on Zoom. So Jim and Pam, who are the two characters, two of the central characters on the show, one of the biggest episodes was their wedding episode. And on that wedding episode, they did like this really funny, weird, cool, iconic dance scene where everybody's doing like these weird, goofy dances. So the Office cast all came together on this Zoom to surprise this couple who was getting married with their friends on, you know, watching on Zoom. And all of them came out there and replicated the dance scene from the wedding for that couple who are huge fans of The Office. And I thought that was one of the coolest things I've seen on the internet all week.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. There's so much that can happen now, right? Because everybody's just home on their phones and they're home in their living room and kind of bored and wanting to be a part of things. Did you see the female action heroes video that went around?
I did
last week. Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah,
it was like everything was all choreographed, like, you know, from one punch to the next, even just the action. That was awesome.
Yeah, if you could summon one cast to hang out with you on Zoom for 15 minutes, which cast would it be? Any show, any time?
It's not even a question.
Oh really? It's not even that was quick.
Boom, hanging out with the West Wing dudes. I'm such a dork. I mean, is that like the most Stanford answer ever?
It's certainly not a Cal answer.
Right.
It's certainly not a Cal answer.
What about
you?
Who do you want to hang out with?
Oh, man. There's so many shows that I loved. Like, maybe growing up, the Cheers cast. Like, I really loved Cheers growing up. I just thought they were really fun and funny. And think about that cast now. Like, there's a lot of super famous people on that cast. But Parks and Rec is my show. It's the show, and they just did kind of their Zoom episode on NBC a few weeks ago. But I would do anything to just hang out with those people for 15 minutes because they seem like the coolest people around. Yeah. So maybe we'll pick that up tomorrow for the audience, and we'll have some fun with that tomorrow. Momo, thank you so much for always hanging out with us on a Wednesday and making time for us.
We gotta like brand this somehow. I don't want to call it like Hump Day with Momo. That sounds weird.
No, you know what? Let's figure that out.
Let's work on that.
The audience, tweet us your thoughts. What is Momo's Wednesday? What can we call it? So there you go. We'll have that. So thanks to Momo. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Woj for stopping by. Thanks to you guys for tuning in, calling in, tweeting in. We love you all. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Have a great afternoon. Don't forget Mason Ireland giving away MLB The Show 20 today at 3 o'clock. See ya.